1 Kings chapter 22, verse 19 through verse 22. And he said, "Hear thou therefore the word of the Lord." This is the prophet Micaiah speaking. "I saw the Lord sitting on his throne, and all the host of heaven standing by him on his right hand and on his left. And the Lord said, 'Who shall persuade Ahab that he may go up and fall at Ramoth Gilead?' And one said on this manner, and another said on that manner. And there came forth a spirit and stood before the Lord and said, 'I will persuade him.' And the Lord said unto him, 'Wherewith?' And he said, 'I will go forth, and I will be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets.' And he said, 'Thou shalt persuade him and prevail also. Go forth and do so.'" Now the context of this little passage of scripture here is simply this. Ahab asked Jehoshaphat to bring his army and help him recapture some land that he lost at Ramoth Gilead. Ahab is the king of the 10 northern tribes of Israel. Jehoshaphat is the king of the 2 southern tribes of Judah. When Jehoshaphat gets down there, he's not really sure they ought to go into battle, and so he asks Ahab, "Hey, you got any, let's inquire at the mouth of the Lord today. Let's see what God has to say." And Ahab got his 400 prophets together, and they had what amounted to a pep rally, and they basically said, "Go, you'll get everything back." And Jehoshaphat was still kind of suspicious, so he said, "You got a prophet of the Lord here beside?" And he said, "Yeah, we got this guy named Micaiah, but I hate him, because he never says anything good about me." So Micaiah comes and he prophesies that Ahab is going to die in the war. And they're getting ready to, they don't obviously like the outcome. So Micaiah is telling them what he saw and how it is that those 400 prophets have all lied to Ahab about prospering in the battle against Ramoth Gilead. Micaiah said, and he's the only one who said it, "You're going to die. Israel's going to be as sheep without a shepherd." And he explains how those prophets were misled by the text that we just read. He said, "I saw the Lord there. I saw all the host of heaven gathered on either side of him." And he said, "Who's going to persuade Ahab that he may go up and fall at Ramoth Gilead?" One said this thing, another one said that thing. And then this spirit said, "I know, I'll persuade him. I'll be a lying spirit in the mouth of his prophets." And he said, "That'll work. You go persuade him." That's the context, and that's what's going on in this passage. Now, what I'm going to tell you has nothing to do with Ahab falling at Ramoth Gilead. What it has to do with is God Almighty asking members of his host to come up with a plan that's going to work. I mean, think about that. If anybody would know, right, it would be God. But he said, let's find a way to make this happen so that Ahab will be convinced to go to Ramoth Gilead and fall. Now, the reason that we're looking at this passage is because there actually is some information in it that will be very helpful for us tonight. I want to remind you that when Pastor Randy King was here in September and preached that little conference for us, one night he preached about what God could do with us. And I think he used a dozen illustrations from his personal experience in going around the country preaching at churches, where he had learned that churches had come up with a way to reach lost people with the gospel. And the result was people had gotten saved and members were added to the church. Remember the lady who became a school bus driver. Remember that one? She running into ditches and had no business driving a school bus. But she did it to get to know the names of the kids and the families. And through that, they had effective outreach to those families where people got saved and became members of the church. Or the teens that painted the city's fire hydrants. You remember that one? Or the ladies, the two older ladies that began an after-school program. And what happened is they got to know the kids, know their families. And through that, several families got saved and were added to the church. You know, all of these ideas, those three I just mentioned and other ones that Pastor King mentioned when he was preaching, all of these ideas resulted in people getting saved and families joining the churches where these ideas originated. And what Pastor King hoped to do, and certainly worked in my case, is he wanted to encourage us to find a way. That's what he kept repeating. Find a way to reach people with the gospel and help them become members of our church. Well, in this passage of Scripture, what God did is he wanted the host that was there to find a way, right? To find a way to persuade Ahab to go into this battle. And several ideas were proposed until this one spirit proposed the idea of becoming a lying spirit in the mouth of his prophets. And God said, that one right there will work. That one will accomplish my will. And so he sent that spirit, and it worked. We can follow the same pattern that we find in this passage to reach people in our area with the gospel. I believe that. And I'll show you. First of all, notice in the passage, the Lord clearly stated the objective. Look again. He said, "Hear therefore the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne and all the hosts of heaven standing by him on his right hand and on his left. And the Lord said, who shall persuade Ahab that he may go up and fall at Ramoth Gilead?" That's the question. That's the objective. We've got to persuade Ahab to go into this battle and fall at Ramoth Gilead. Well, for us, I believe that the objective is to find a way to reach the families in the neighborhoods surrounding our church. Now, on quite a few occasions over the years, we have gone into Northwest Crossing Subdivision, the original part, and we have caroled and we've knocked on doors and we've hung tracts and we've given out invitations. And we knocked on doors to give out New Testaments and things like that. And a couple of families have come here as a result of that. But since then, Sedalia has been built and Roomba has been built. And the Snapk has come here from there. The Wallace has come here from the neighborhood. And the Sullivans came here from the neighborhood. So we've had people that have come and they don't come here now, but another couple, he's got a job, I think, that has moved him that actually came from the neighborhood. So we've had some effect. But the last time that I went in to the neighborhood, I took Jimmy Martinez with me. We went where the new construction is, and we've knocked on doors, and everybody answered. But they were expecting a doorbell company, right? A fiber optics company, a burglar alarm company. You know, and finally, and I mentioned this to you already, the last house we knocked on the door, the guy came, he was taking care of his elderly mother, and he said, "Are you saving or selling?" The churches had been there too. And it just seemed a bit to be an irritant to him, but we had two or three good conversations, and one was like, "Man, what time is your service? I'll be there." And I knew we wouldn't expect that guy because it's what they say. Nevertheless, one day I was driving when the school bus stopped. So I stopped and observed. And I would say about a third of the bus got off right here across the street. Kids from school walking into their homes in the neighborhood right there, a stone's throw from here. And the thought came to my mind, we have Bible clubs, Vacation Bible School, graded Sunday school classes for toddlers, nursery for children, first through third, fourth through sixth, high school, already meeting. And there are the kids within walking distance, but they're not here, and we haven't yet found the way to go there and have something more than Are you selling or are you saving? You know, you get telemarketer calls and spam calls and you just sick of them. You already know people are perturbed by that. So when you knock on a door, you're starting off not at zero, but about minus 200. They just don't want to see you. And I get that. I understand that. I see them in the neighborhood. I'm like, I ain't here. But there are many kids that are living in the new houses over there. And my question is, here's the objective. The Lord said, who shall persuade Ahab that he may go up and fall at Ramoth-Gilead? My question is, how can we reach them? How can we reach them? Nearby, new houses going up south of us, new houses being built west of us, new houses being built east of us, new houses already built north of us. How do we reach them with the gospel? That's the question. That's the stated objective. You know, in the Bible, when the Lord said in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and the uttermost part of the earth. All right, this would be our Jerusalem. It's our area. This is our place. So the Lord clearly stated the objective in this passage. Secondly, several of the host contributed ideas. Notice verse 20. And one said on this matter, and another said on that matter. So we know at least two other ideas were proposed before, at a minimum, the third idea. But when you hear one said on this matter and another said on that matter, it could have been several of those kinds of ideas. Several of the hosts contributed ideas. All right? When we're trying to think of a way, initially, any idea is worth consideration. I mean, the right plan wasn't the first one that someone proposed. And we don't sit here and think, I don't want to know what to propose until I've got the right plan. Well, the first one was mentioned. It wasn't the right plan. The second one was mentioned. It wasn't the right plan. Perhaps more were mentioned, and they weren't the right plans. And, you know, honestly, we need to be okay with putting forth some ideas that may not be accepted. A lot of people are like, if I say this, I'm going to defend it hard because I think we ought to do it this way. Well, our purpose is to find out what God wants us to do. But I'll grant you, I'm one person. Pastor Tony's one person. And we don't always have the idea. God may give it to somebody else. In those illustrations that Pastor King used, and there were nearly a dozen of them in that message, he kept saying, these ideas did not come from the pastor. It came from people in the pew who saw how they could be used to make something happen. So when we don't have any pride of authorship, you know, like if you're not going to accept my plan, I don't want to help the person whose plan is accepted because you didn't accept my plan. Yeah, we have to get beyond that and just say, we're working together to find a way. Does anybody have an idea that would work? And that's what they did in this meeting with the Lord. Notice another thing. The Lord had a stated objective. Several ideas were taken into consideration. And then the next thing that happened is a spirit confidently came forth with a plan. Look at verse 21. There came forth a spirit and stood before the Lord and said, I will persuade him. That's pretty confident. That's pretty confident. And said, I will persuade him. You know, one of the things I believe that spirit had as an advantage is he had already heard some other plans and realized, okay, well, yeah, no, that's a good idea, but it doesn't seem like it's going to work. No, that's a good idea. I got an idea. Sometimes hearing plans contributed stirs up the thought that, oh, yeah, I know what we can do. And that's what happened with this spirit. I would say this. He said, I will persuade him. And it doesn't sound braggadocious, and I don't believe it was because he got the job done. But the idea is this. If you're not confident enough in your idea that you're not willing to put forth the effort to make it work, then it probably isn't going to work. You know, I think somebody should. Well, then that's not an idea maybe that other people want to hear. It's kind of like, I think we can, and that's an idea that people want to hear because you're willing to do some of the whatever's necessary to make it work. So the Spirit said, I will persuade him. He was willing to work the plan that he was proposing, and he was confident that his idea was work. In other words, he thought about it apparently long enough to realize, hey, I think this will be a good plan. So we should be the same way. Take something under consideration. What is it that I would be willing to do to help with something like that that I also believe has the potential to work? That's what this spirit did. And then notice the fourth thing that happened in this passage is the Lord asked him how it would work. In verse 22, the Lord said unto him, wherewith? I love the Lord's question. How's that going to work? Just one word, wherewith? You know, that could be intimidating. This is God Almighty. Wherewith? One word. Well, we say, by asking that question, that the Lord vetted the plan. To vet is to evaluate for possible approval or acceptance. That's what you do it for. So when an idea is under consideration like this was, it should stand up to some scrutiny before it is enacted. Because the last thing we want to do is just go, hey, let's try that one and see if that works. Because if you float a few of those, let's see if this will work ideas, nobody's going to do it. Years ago, I was at the pastor's meeting in Idaho, and a pastor came to me and said, hey, preacher, can I talk to you at some point? I said, yes, that'd be fine. And the time came. We're sitting outside, kind of away from the earshot of other people. And while we're talking, his wife comes up, and basically he's complaining because he's got a deacon in his church that doesn't want any more plans. And I said, well, what's the problem? Well, I'll come to conferences like this, and I hear a great idea, and I come back, and I tell our church, we need to do this. And we start, and after a little while, we stop. And then I go to another conference, and hear another great idea. And I say, hey, you know what? We really ought to do this one, and we really ought to do this one, and we do it for a little while, and then, you know, then we don't. So now I've got this really good, and I know this is a good idea that I want to do, but this deacon is like, you know, we shouldn't take this under consideration. And I'm just wondering what you think I ought to do with this deacon. I smiled, I think you ought to listen to him. And his wife turned and said, I told you so. What's the point? He got tired of floating some ideas and enacting them before they realized whether they would work or not. And so the same thing is true here. What we want to do is take something under consideration and say, you know what, that's good, and that's one that we, several of us here, really want to get involved in to see that work. How would it work? It's past the scrutiny. So the Spirit explained the details of the plan in verse 22. I will go forth and I will be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. That's how I'm going to do it. And this turned out to be the perfect plan. When Jehoshaphat insisted that Ahab gather up the prophets to inquire the Lord, they all with one accord said the same thing. Go up, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king. And it was an absolute lie. But they were so persuasive that even when Micaiah came and told them that Ahab was going to die in that battle, they were still convinced to go into the battle, so much so that Ahab went in the disguise of a soldier and Jehoshaphat went in his robes. That was dumb. Because the enemy said, don't bother with killing any of the soldiers, just kill the king. And when they came up on King Jehoshaphat, he screamed. They were like, oh, you're not the king of, you're not Ahab. And that was the only thing that saved his life. God intervened or he would have died. So the plan was perfect, and God, you know, approved it in the next part. If you'll notice in verse 22, he said, thou shalt persuade him and prevail also, go forth and do so. The Lord approved and blessed the plan. You know, and I fully trust the Lord with this, and we should, that the Lord will help us to recognize the right plan. Do you think that the Lord is interested in the salvation of any of the souls that live in any of these houses near the church? Yeah, I do too. Yeah. And because we haven't found something that Vacation Bible School brought some, and we wrote them letters and sent them packets inviting him to come back to church and so forth. But we haven't seen any more results from that except for coming to Vacation Bible School, which was good. That was a great plan. And because it was a good Vacation Bible School, I think next year some of those same ones will come back and more. But the question is, what do you do for the 12 months between? Right? What about them? They get older, they meet more people that introduce them to things that they don't need to see, hear, touch, taste, and feel. And I trust the Lord that He will help us. I don't believe Pastor King preached that sermon in vain. Come up with the right plan. And that He will lead us to pursue the right way that will help us reach our neighbors with the gospel. I believe you want to see them saved. I do. And I certainly want to see them saved. And I want to see them get settled into a good church. Look, man, you know, you could walk here, ride a bicycle here, take the back road here. You're closest ones to the place. So will you join me in prayer? Will you join me in prayer that God will minister to our hearts and give us some ideas to consider and bring those ideas forth with the same heart that these men or this host did? That among the ideas proposed, God will show us a plan and use that plan to help us reach the lost around us. I really believe that God would use here, right here, what I'm looking at, what you're looking at, to touch our hearts and say, yep, try this right here. Consider this right here. And let's take it under consideration and see what God does. Be great. You know, I don't want to perturb them. You understand what I'm saying? If you knock on the door, we knocked on the doors when Josh and Robert Ori and I were working together. We'd go over there and we started going every Thursday afternoon and we'd visit him with folks. But what was happening is they've got a neighborhood app and everybody has cameras. And so we'd go in there and all of a sudden you'd see the garage doors closing. And one of them told us, oh, yeah, we have an app. And when we see you guys, we notify everybody in the neighborhood, you're here again. Because you're like, to us, you're like the Jehovah's Witnesses. So all the doors lock and all the garage doors go down. Well, who wants to, right? And we're right here as neighbors. We don't have to have that type of association. We want an association like, that is a good church. Those are good folks. We need to go to that church. And Let's ask God. Will you join me in prayer to do that? Let's ask God to say, would you do for us what you did one day with your host and give us the plan? We'll execute on the plan. We'll trust you. You just got to show us which one it is that you approve of and which one it is you bless, and then we'll go get them. How's that sound to you? Amen. Amen. Let's do that. Father, thank you tonight. We ask you, please, to help us as a church to remember to pray for these things on Wednesday night prayer meeting. And also to be very sensitive to the leadership of your Holy Spirit as we read our Bibles, as we think about our neighbors and their souls and the fact that you died on the cross to save them. And show us how you want us. You brought us to this area. We were here on this land before most of these houses were built. And I believe you put us here for the reason that one day the houses would be here and we would too. And that we'd be used by you to reach them. So please help us to do that. We ask you to do it in Jesus' name. Amen.